Welcome to IP Management Voice, the podcast spotlighting leading minds in IP and IP management. This series supports the IP Business Academy's call for subject matter experts to share insights, foster reflection, and strengthen the global IP system. Join the conversation via our newsletter and explore cutting-edge content on D-Plex. The content featured in this episode on patents being the smarter tech investments comes from Robert Klinsky.
Okay, let's unpack this. You know the standard story of tech investing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The venture capital world, pouring money into startups, chasing that dream of the one big unicorn payoff. We see the glossy headlines, the massive valuations, the whole narrative.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
But what if that highly visible path, the one most people focus on, is actually incredibly risky, maybe even inefficient? What if there's a smarter, more strategic way to invest in innovation that isn't just betting the farm on startup equity?
It feels like that traditional model has become the default setting for innovation finance, almost unquestioned sometimes.
Absolutely. And today we're doing a deep dive into a fascinating idea that really challenges that assumption head on. We're looking at a summary of insights from Robert Klinsky, shared in a blog post from the IP Business Academy.
Right. And this draws from his work in his book, Winning with IP, Managing Intellectual Property Today.
Klinsky, who's a European patent attorney, background in signal processing too, which is interesting, he presents a really compelling case for a dramatic shift.
A really big shift. He argues we should focus far less on startup equity and far more on patents themselves.
Patents as the investment target.
Exactly. He's proposing a kind of strategic blueprint for using intellectual property as a high-efficiency investment vehicle.
That's a completely different lens. So our mission in this deep dive is to really get our heads around his argument. Why patents? How does he see them stacking up against startups as investments? And, you know, what are the specific strategies he proposes for leveraging IP to capture value from innovation?
Yeah, it's basically about rethinking how innovation gets funded and protected.
It's a different kind of treasure hunt, maybe.
Kind of, yeah. Looking for value in a different place.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We all hear about the massive venture capital wins, the IPOs, the huge acquisitions. But the stark reality, as Klinsky highlights, is that failure is the most common outcome for startups.
That's the core challenge he's pointing to in the traditional model. It operates on the assumption of a pretty dismal success rate, honestly.
Like, what kind of numbers are we talking?
Well, you know, the rule of thumb is often something like, you invest in 10 companies, hope one pays off big. Maybe two break even if you're lucky.
And the rest.
And the vast majority, potentially 7 out of 10 or more, just evaporate the invested capital. High failure rates, the complexity of scaling a business, the unpredictable market conditions, it's inherently high risk.
It sounds less like investing and more like buying a lot of very expensive lottery tickets sometimes.
In a way, yes.
Yeah.
And it leads Klinsky to ask this fundamental question. Why aren't we taking a page from the world of financial markets? You know, using tools like derivatives or options to invest directly in patents. These are the soft assets that legally own the technological innovation itself, separate from the whole company structure.
Okay, so he sees patents as sort of like financial options. That's a clever analogy.
It is, yeah.
It sounds like they give you exposure to the potential upside if the technology takes off, but they cap your potential downside compared to betting your whole investment on whether a single company survives and scales.
Exactly. And when you look at the sheer cost difference, it's pretty striking.
How striking.
Filing a patent application under the Patent Cooperation Treaty, the PCT process, it costs a tiny fraction, we're talking around 1% maybe, of what it typically takes to back a startup to a significant degree.
1%? Wow, that number really jumps out.
It does. And importantly, it buys you time. That PCT application gives you up to 31 months of priority protection.
Almost 3 years.
Yeah, that's a strategic hedge.
Yeah.
You have this window to evaluate how the technology is developing, if the market is materializing, before you have to commit to the much higher costs of pursuing patents in individual countries around the world.
So if it doesn't look promising after, say, 2.5 years...
You can walk today having spent relatively very little compared to a startup investment going south.
Let's look at some of the numbers that really emphasize this from the source material, because the cost comparison is absolutely stark.
It really puts the scale of the difference into perspective. The source points out that the typical price of investing in just one startup, let's say, maybe around $10 million.
Okay, a significant amount.
Yeah. That same amount could instead allow an investor to create 10 separate patent portfolios.
10 portfolios.
10, each covering the top 5 global markets for different technologies or maybe variations on a technology.
Wait, hold on. So for the same capital risk, the same $10 million, you could potentially protect hundreds of individual innovations across different areas or variations on a theme.
Instead of placing one single large bet on one company's successful execution and scaling. Yes.
That seems like a much more diversified approach.
Precisely. You're dramatically spreading your risk and increasing your chances of hitting on a valuable innovation. Yet you see most of the investment world still fixated on chasing that single startup equity dream.
It's the siren song of the unicorn, I guess. It dominates the headlines.
It certainly does. But it's interesting that, according to the information shared, China has been quicker to adopt this patent-centric view.
Really? How so?
We see investors there increasingly using patents to time their investments, getting in as a technology moves from the experimental phase towards scalable commercial growth. That sweet spot.
So they're timing the market for the technology itself, not just the company selling it.
Exactly. It's a different calculation.
This raises an important question, though. If the economics and risk profile look so much better, why isn't this patent-centric approach the standard? What's holding it back?
Well, Klinsky points to a challenge that actually exists within engineering teams themselves.
Within innovators.
Yeah. He identifies what he calls a kind of mindset gap. Engineers are typically trained to solve specific incremental problems. You know, how to make something faster, smaller, more efficient, improve performance by X percent.
And that's crucial for product development.
Absolutely crucial. But these step-by-step improvements don't always translate into breakthrough or even strategically valuable IP unless there's an aligned strategy guiding their work.
So they're brilliant at solving technical puzzles, but maybe not framing their solutions in a way that's relevant for IP or broader market problems.
Exactly. They might solve a difficult technical challenge, but overlook how that solution actually addresses a fundamental market problem in a novel, patentable way.
Huh.
He notes engineers often miss patentable innovations, especially in newer, more abstract digital areas like AI, IoT, 5G. Sometimes mistakenly thinking these domains are outside the scope of traditional IP protection.
Which brings us to a fantastic real-world example shared in the source that really hammers this point home.
It's a great anecdote about a leading mobile operator in Europe.
Okay.
They had largely dismissed the idea of patenting their 5G innovations.
Mm-hmm.
Probably focused on deploying the network infrastructure, maybe thinking the hardware was the only patentable part.
Right, the physical stuff.
But through guided conversations with Klinsky's team, these strategic conversations.
What happened?
They uncovered over 80 unique inventions that the operator hadn't even realized were potentially patentable.
80? Just lying there.
Essentially, yes. And more than 50 of these were ultimately filed as patent applications, and many have already been granted.
Wow.
This perfectly illustrates how aligning engineering thinking with a strategic IP focus and understanding market needs can uncover immense hidden value within a company's own R&D efforts.
It sounds like uncovering an IP goldmine that was already there, just not recognized.
It is. The engineers were innovating, but without the right strategic overlay, that kind of market problem framing, they weren't identifying or framing that innovation as valuable, patentable IP.
So Klinsky stresses that timing is absolutely critical in this patent-based investment strategy. It's not just about what you patent, but when you do it.
Yeah, timing is everything here. Every technology, like a product, has a life cycle. Emergence, growth, and maturity. In the early emergence stage, patent costs might be low, but the technology and market are highly uncertain. It's very risky.
Okay.
During the growth phase, patenting globally gets more expensive, and competition for IP increases rapidly. Everyone starts jumping in.
And maturity.
By maturity, IP is costly to maintain and returns diminish as the technology becomes commoditized and the market stabilizes. Think standard features.
So jumping in too early is a pure shot in the dark, but jumping in too late means you're just another face in the crowd. You don't get much strategic advantage.
Precisely. Investing too early means betting on unproven markets that might never materialize. Investing too late means wading into crowded, commoditized waters where IP has much less power to differentiate or command value.
So where's the sweet spot?
The ideal point, what Klinsky calls the technology sweet spot, is when the innovation has begun scaling commercially, there's clear market adoption starting, but it isn't yet commoditized.
Okay, that makes sense. Growth phase, but not peak maturity.
Exactly. patents filed here can truly dominate a growing market segment and generate significant returns by protecting established revenue streams and future growth potential.
This deep dive connects to broader ideas about how innovation happens in the first place. The source references Clayton Christensen's classic work, The Innovator's Dilemma.
Yes, Christensen's work is fundamental here. He explained how disruptive technologies often start in overlooked, low-value segments that established players ignore. They don't see the immediate profit.
Right. They're focused on their current big customer.
Exactly. But these new technologies improve rapidly, eventually moving upmarket and displacing incumbents who are focused on serving their existing high-value customers.
And these disruptions often involve solving immense technical challenges that the big established players avoided because they weren't seen as profitable problems to solve for their current market. This creates the opening for new players.
Right. And this is where IP becomes absolutely crucial. These new players can define the narrative around the new technology and, critically, secure the foundational patents.
Like with blockchain.
Blockchain is a good example used in the source. It started in the niche, overlooked world of digital currency, largely ignored by traditional finance initially. But it evolved into a platform addressing a fundamental market need. Decentralized trust, transparency, security.
A much broader need than just cryptocurrency.
Much broader. So investors who grasped this disruptive potential early on weren't just buying into a specific cryptocurrency company. They were recognizing the underlying technical shift and its potential application far beyond currency.
And if they secured the IP?
Exactly. And if they could frame and protect the core technical solutions enabling that decentralized trust, you know, how the ledger works, how consensus is reached, they secured IP that is now fundamental to countless applications across industries. They invested in the protected idea at the right time in its life cycle.
Okay. So what does this all mean practically for someone who wants to apply this thinking? How does someone actually do this IP-centric approach?
Well, Klinsky provides a pretty clear three-step framework for turning potential disruption into valuable, patentable IP.
Okay. What are the steps?
It's a structured approach that deliberately connects technical work to market needs and IP strategy. Step one is to define the market challenge.
Not the technical solution first.
No, the market problem first. This isn't about what technology can do. It's about deeply understanding what the market truly needs and what problems users or businesses face that aren't being met by existing solutions.
Okay, market need first. Step two.
Step two. Based on that market need, you frame a technical problem. You articulate a specific, solvable technical challenge for engineers that directly addresses the market need identified in step one. This gives their innovation work direction that is inherently IP relevant from the start.
Got it. Connect the tech problem to the market problem. And step three.
And step three is to harvest innovation. This is where you systematically collect and patent the solutions that result from engineers solving that framed technical problem.
So it's not just filing patents speculatively, hoping one hits. It's about deliberately creating strategically valuable IP that is directly tailored to real-world demand and potential future markets.
Precisely. And Klinsky finds this method is particularly effective for technologies like AI, 5G, and cybersecurity, where markets and regulations are still evolving rapidly. There's plenty of room to define and protect novel technical solutions that solve emerging problems.
Klinsky is also quite candid about the practical challenges in implementing this approach, though, right? He goes back to that mindset gap we discussed earlier.
He does. It's a real hurdle. Engineers are often focused on those incremental technical improvements they're trained to do. They might develop a brilliantly efficient algorithm, but without the strategic input from steps one and two, defining the market need and framing the technical problem in relation to that need.
They might not see the patentability.
They might not articulate how their efficiency improvement solves a new market problem in a patentable way. It's about the framing.
And he touches on the perspective of patent examiners, too, which is important, because they're the gatekeepers.
Right. Their job is to compare a new invention to existing prior art, basically. Everything already publicly known, and assess if it's truly novel and inventive. If the engineers or the patent application itself can't clearly articulate how their technical solution tackles a new technical problem, especially one defined by the market,
and no patent,
they might not get patent protection, even if their underlying work is technically very impressive. It's about showing the technical solution to a specific technical problem, and that problem needs to be clearly defined, ideally in the context of what the market needs or enables.
Let's look closer at some specific tech areas Klinsky highlights, like 5G and software, because there are common misconceptions there, things people often think you can't patent.
Definitely. While 5G infrastructure builds on 4G, Klinsky stresses that the biggest IP value isn't just in faster hardware. It lies in how 5G networks are configured and managed for specific applications and services.
Through things like network slicing, for instance. You hear that term a lot.
Exactly. Operators can create these dedicated virtual subnetworks tailored for completely different applications. One slice for ultra-low latency communication needed for autonomous vehicles, another for high bandwidth AR/VR streaming, another for massive IoT sensor deployments.
Totally different requirements for each.
Completely. Each slice needs unique technical configuration, performance guarantees, and ways of managing data flow and latency. These tailored technical solutions, optimizing network resources in specific ways to meet distinct application needs. Those are prime candidates for patents.
So it's the configuration and management for the service?
Yes. If the underlying technical challenge is framed correctly relative to the service being enabled, the opportunity is in how services are deployed and the technical means to enable that specific deployment.
That makes sense. It's the novel technical problems created by the application of the technology that lead to patentable solutions.
Precisely. Another crucial point Klinsky debunks is the persistent myth that software innovations can't be patented.
You still hear that everywhere. Software as such isn't patentable is that the carve-out people get stuck on.
That's the key exclusion, yes. Software as an abstract concept, like a mathematical algorithm floating in space, or a pure business method performed on a generic computer, is generally not patentable on its own in most places. But software that solves a technical problem is patentable. He explains that offices like the European Patent Office use a clear problem-solution approach.
How does that work?
You identify the closest prior art, define the technical problem the invention solves compared to that prior art, and then assess if a skilled person could have easily arrived at that solution. Was it obvious?
So if your software provides a concrete, tangible technical benefit.
Exactly. If it provides a more efficient way to process data for a technical system, or a new method for dynamically configuring physical network resources, or improves the security of a technical process in a tangible way, these provide technical benefits and can meet patentability requirements.
So things like AI, big data, blockchain.
This opens the door for protecting innovations in AI algorithms that improve data processing speed for a technical task. Specific big data processing techniques applied to technical systems, specific blockchain implementations that solve technical challenges like data integrity in a supply chain or cybersecurity solutions that protect technical systems. It's about the technical effect.
Ultimately, what Robert Klinsky is advocating for, based on his work and shared through the IP Business Academy blog, is a fundamental shift in how we approach innovation and investing in it.
It feels less like just a legal tactic and more like a strategic manifesto for the future of innovation finance.
Yeah. Instead of just chasing high-risk startup equity with its predictable high failure rate, he proposes using strategic patent development and investment as a smarter, potentially higher leverage way to secure innovation and tap into emerging markets.
It seems like a way to gain exposure to the technology's potential value, independent of the specific company that might eventually bring it to market successfully. You're sort of decoupling the tech risk from the business execution risk to some extent.
Right, betting on the invention itself more than the vehicle carrying it initially.
Exactly. It minimizes the capital exposure upfront compared to betting on a whole company and increases the odds of capturing value from technological disruption by owning a piece of the core innovation itself.
And it requires pulling different threads together.
Yeah, it requires aligning engineering, legal, and financial thinking around a shared goal. Creating future-defining technologies that are also legally defensible assets.
Mm.
And Klinsky's background, you know, as a European patent attorney and the founder of Patentship, a firm that has apparently created and patented over 150 inventions in frontier tech, particularly AI and 5G, it lends significant weight to this perspective. He's practicing what he preaches.
So what Klinsky lays out in this summary isn't just about drafting patent claims. It's framed as a blueprint for how investors and companies can think about the future of innovation finance.
Mm-hmm. His message is pretty clear. Patents are strategic investment tools that, when timed correctly and crafted right by solving those framed market problems we talked about, can potentially outperform traditional equity investments in startups.
How?
By offering higher leverage, potentially, and lower initial capital risk.
So for investors looking for those potentially big asymmetric returns, but maybe without the conventional stomach-churning risks of startup failure that dominate the headlines.
This patent-centric approach might truly be the next big frontier for identifying and capturing the value of innovation. It's a different way to play the game.
So what does this all mean for you listening? How does this shift in thinking about the value and timing of intellectual property change your perspective on technology, on innovation, or even on potential career paths?
Yeah. Are there opportunities being overlooked by focusing solely on the product and the company, rather than the underlying technical solutions and their potential for protection?
Something to mull over as you encounter the next big technological wave and decide where to focus your attention, or perhaps where to secure your position before everyone else catches on.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.